Anafola sufficient, or would you like me to, because Rosemary said she cannot, right. Would you like me to check with the Ikrizat, Ikaba, the other creators, or?
Well, I think Pankaj wouldn't mind if more people could come. Okay. He mentioned Rory yesterday.
I don't have much feedback from him because he's very, very busy. He took also some duties in Rome recently. Uh-huh. So I don't know. We can check with him. But he may decide to send somebody else.
Maybe. Yeah, and we can. He's always at PEG, so we can hook up with him at PEG.
He's always at PEG. I don't know this year, but I can check that anyway.
Yeah. So, yeah. If there are people that are interested.
So I was thinking also the lady who did the Lentil Thread Dictionary, she was in the workshop in April as well, and she sounds interested to get trained.
And who? Just
her name is Katrinka or a name like that. She's in Ikarda, must be located in Morocco. She's Indian. Hmm. And she worked on Lentil. So I will try to inform the others about the possibility, and if they say they are interested, then I give you the names and you can make another.
Yeah, sure, that would be great.
Okay.
And Elizabeth, since you're on the call here, I don't know if Pankaj has joined yet. It doesn't look like it, but I had a talk with Pankaj, and he said that the people that are on the Plantium project already, like Marie Angelique and, you know, Chris or Barry or whoever, Dennis, whoever else is coming, that they have travel funds and that they should go ahead and book their own travel and use their travel funds. And then we'll have the people who are like the outside people from CGIAR or the outside curators, will book their flights from here.
So Marie-Angélique, for Marie, for example, we do use the travel budget we have, you mean?
That's what Pankaj told me. And if you have any questions about that, it might be best if you two...
Yeah, to ask him. Okay, because I understood the opposite, but...
Yeah. So I just wanted to make sure that everybody was kind of clear on what the arrangements were. We have a travel agent here in town, and so for the people like Vilma and Reinhardt, we'll have them deal directly with Teals because then they can bill us directly and we don't have to do reimbursements and so on.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, it's a prepaid. I think it's a good solution.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier for paperwork down the road. But okay. Yeah, so maybe you and Pankaj should talk about the other issues. If necessary.
Okay. So, yeah, so I will talk about, with Pankaj, about the travel budget.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we were thinking also to go to PAG. Okay, so yeah. Let's see.
So, right. I'm just passing on the message.
Yeah, no problem. I understand.
Okay. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
There, yeah.
I hope you didn't have any trouble connecting this morning. I'm sorry if there was a mix-up. It was something weird going on with Zoom this morning. I had to change.
Oh, no trouble at all. I had a call just from 8 to 8:15 and it ran over. So.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, good. Well, I'm glad you were able to join. So we have a few things on the agenda. Elizabeth was only able to stay for a few minutes, so we were dealing with a couple of workshop issues. I don't know if you heard that, but we have at least two of the curators from the CGIAR who are interested in coming. Afala works on cassava and Vilma and Reinhardt work on potato. So they're both tuber people. They're all tuber people. So that'll be interesting. Yeah. And we're kind of waiting to hear back from the other folks. So do you want to, maybe we should go ahead and talk about the term genie since you're on the call. I don't know how long you're around for. Do you have anything?
Term genie. So I had an example ready to go. What was it? I had a really cool example. Let me see if I can find what it was. But sorry, just because I missed the what you were saying just there. It we're going to go ahead second week of November.
Yes. And I have a, oh, I haven't shared my screen here, but I can do it. Yes, and we have a workshop page on the wiki that I've been adding things to. There's information on there about accommodations. Pankaj and I were going to meet and talk about that a little bit more, maybe tomorrow. But you can explore this if you're interested, if you have preferences. I don't know. I'll get the workshop page up here. So, yes, we've set on the second week of...
Okay, I can check later. I just want to make sure I know what to kind of prepare for.
Yeah.
What we should get out of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so do you know when you and Seth might come during the week, or would you?
I can come for a long... Seth, I said he only needs to come for a couple of days. And I said that should be at the end of the week.
Oh, okay.
Does that sound best?
Sure. Whatever works for you guys is fine. Yeah. Work around that.
And obviously Justin should be there at the same time for that.
I think Justin's planning to come for the whole week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he'll probably come like Monday night or Sunday night and stay.
And to be honest, if Justin wants to do some Amigo stuff beforehand, you know, I may be capable enough to help with some of that.
Yeah. Hi, Justin.
Okay. Yeah, I'll be there all week.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. So. Well, later on, I can maybe share some ideas about exactly what we would do in terms of kind of like training on Protégé and things like that. And I know Barry wants to be involved in some of the ontology training too, but we can move on for now.
Yeah. One thing I was going to say was Elizabeth sent an email yesterday about possibly doing some ISO, having an ISO demo and having the curators do some stuff on ISO. So that's something we can think about. I haven't got that on the plan right now, but we can think about doing that either here or at PEG. I know they're still kind of working on ISO, but we could introduce it anyway.
Remind me exactly ISO.
ISO is the image annotation software where you can tag the images and segment them and ontology terms.
Yeah.
So right now it's a desktop application, and part of the Plantium project is to integrate ISO with the BISC platform, which is more.
Yeah, I'm familiar with BISC, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Justin Priest is sort of working on that area. So that's in development in terms of transitioning it to more of the web-based platform. And right now it's fairly limited in what it can do. So those need to be worked out on it, but yeah. Okay. So, any other questions about logistics for the workshop? So, Chris, if you want to go ahead and book your flights or whatever, you're welcome to do that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you heard that, but Pankaj said that all the people that are on the Plantium project should just...
Yeah, I've got a travel budget. So travel
funds. Yeah, okay, good. So that's clear. Okay, and then, yeah, and you know, Chris, I think one of the really important things is to really... You know, it'd be nice to expose these curators to GitHub and how we're working at GitHub.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's an important piece of the picture now. And I know there's a lot of things that GitHub does that I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not everyone will need to know all of the ins and outs, but there's definitely some kind of like neat features that
how to do these forking and the pull requests, because I think it'd be good if we have, you know, if they want to add terms, if they could do it that way, it would be good.
So that's kind of a cool way of working. It doesn't always go so... There's some challenges when doing it with, like, large ontology files.
Yeah.
But we can definitely talk about that. We can try some experiments and things like that, you know, if people are willing to, you know, treat it as more of an experiment rather than a kind of this is how you do things.
Right. Okay. Yeah, so... That sounds good. Things are shaping up for that. So, all right. So let's go back to our actual agenda for today. It's kind of thin, but I have things on here from the other days, so we can always go back to them. So do you want to tell us a little bit more about your Term Genie, and maybe you have a demo you can show us? It looks like you have two instances of it now, Chris.
Oh, there's multiple instances. So what you've written there is the OBO instance. I think you mean the OBA instance.
OBA, yeah.
So let me share my screen and I can show that.
Right, I meant OBA.
Mm-hmm. And you've linked to the Go one, but never mind. They both go to the same place.
Oh, really?
Huh. Never mind.
I'll fix that after.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out. Okay, do you want me to stop sharing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Does that work?
That's good. Oba.
Yeah. You're not seeing yourself in recursively, no. Because I'm sharing my screen and I can see you, so I don't know. Okay, so the first thing you do here is you log in, and anyone can sign up for a login ID.
Is it actually using the Mozilla single sign-in, or is it just a local?
I'm not sure I understand the distinction, but it is using, we don't implement any code here. This is all Mozilla doing this.
Okay.
Hold on. I don't know why I didn't remember my password. I have to go and do some secret business here.
Don't you have it on a sticky note on your computer? My login is not working for some reason. I need to figure out why. I have a Term Genie login, but I haven't been able to get on it. It's been on my to-do list, but let me just sneak in the door there. Sorry. To-do list. Oh, just my beautiful. It's in the wrong place. I don't know where my to-do list is.
You gotta get that thing on the cloud.
The list?
Yeah.
Oh, it is. But I like to print it out so I have something to write on. Yeah, it's on Google Tasks.
Okay, here I am again. And I'm signed in. So I guess I can do the Oba Term Genie first, which is a very simple one. It only gives you, at the moment, a single choice of template, and that's the entity quality attribute template. So you can kind of make your selection for templates here, and it gives you a little text description of it, which is kind of minimal. So basically, you can do this like a spreadsheet. You can add as many rows as you want at the moment. So you can just keep on doing, you can say, okay, I'm going to add about like three terms here. But let's just do it. Often people just use it for doing things one at a time. So I'm going to do a trait that is kind of like applicable here, probably across kind of like all eukaryotes. And I wish I could remember which. The problem with demoing this is often the terms have been added already.
Oh, I see. So you're looking for a term that hasn't been added.
Yeah, yeah. So what I'm doing is I'm picking an entity from the Go cell component ontology. Did that go in? It did. So endoplasmic reticulum membrane. And then I'm going to pick a quality from Peto. And you'll notice here on the autocomplete on the mouse over, it shows you what the definition and so on of the term that you're going to select is, which is nice, and you should always check the definition. Now you can optionally put in definition hrefs for your new term there, but this is the way it's configured, this is optional. And the next thing you do is you do verify input. So what it's doing here is it's checking that there's no existing class with either that label or with that logical definition. It's using the reasoner to check for equivalences here. And so it's fine. It hasn't found anything. So it's going to make, and here I can edit any of these fields. It's suggesting a label for me. Endoplasmic reticulum membrane permeability, which is a perfectly good label. And following some trait vocabularies, we just stick trait on the end. Yeah. But we can choose to get rid of that label, if that synonym, if we want to. It's also given me a standard kind of like definition here, which is pretty trivial. And again, I can change that, but we don't necessarily recommend that. And then over here, this is some kind of geeky OBO level stuff. And, you know, mostly it's the ontology editors using this, and they quite like this. So what it's telling you here is that it's going to place it in the ontology underneath the term membrane permeability. Now, I didn't tell it, you know, that this is a kind of membrane permeability. I figured this out based on the fact that the endoplasmic reticulum is a kind of membrane in Go. So you see that gets the is inferred in here. And then, as Marie-Angelique pointed out last week, we're using a sort of slightly undocumented pattern here for various different reasons. But we can kind of like kind of explore that further. And you will be at the November meeting, won't you? Yep, great. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of like verify all these things, and then I'm actually just going, OBO is very kind of like accepting of terms, so I'm just going to actually put this into the ontology. So this is a temp ID. You should never use this. Maybe it shouldn't even show this here. This is just showing its internal work. So I'm going to select here. And it's actually going ahead, and it's not committed to the ontology yet. What it's done is it's placed it in, you know, a kind of like a term genie queue, right. But it's given me an ID, and I can go ahead and use that ID in annotation, and I can be guaranteed that that ID will never go away. Now, it may be obsoleted later on if the gatekeeper doesn't like it, but the ID itself never goes away. So at this point, nothing else happens to the ontology until the gatekeeper comes along. And the gatekeeper is just someone with extra permissions, and it's completely up to a project how they handle this. In Go, we have a rota, and a different person is a gatekeeper for the week. And they just check at the end of the day, they just go in, they go to this form, and they just check and see what is in the queue. And what they sometimes do, but we try and avoid this as much as possible by training people upstream, is they have the option at this point to make the term obsolete. Now, it's quite hard for a user using the entity quantity form to make something that is like genuinely invalid, because the reasoner should catch it. You know, generally, you can combine most entities in, say, Go cell component or PO anatomy with most object qualities. Mm-hmm. So if the user is trained, you should never need to use this. But this is an option here that you can click make obsolete, and it would obsolete that term. This generate image button sometimes works. No, it doesn't work. But you don't really need to. That just shows you where it exists in the hierarchy. But again, it shows you the same information here. And this is how it would look in the OBO file here. And at this stage, the gatekeeper has the option also of making any edits to this if they need to. But most of the time, all they have to do is quickly review it, say, that looks okay, that's a good term to have in the ontology, and commit. And this is what actually does the commit on the repository.
Nice.
And there it's in. And so I can kind of like prove that by going over to... So I'm doing this a bit of a geeky way. I'm doing a git pull command line command. And I'm actually looking at it. I'm not too lazy to open this in Protégé. I'm looking in OBO Edit. I mean, I'm looking in Emacs, the text editor, which, you know, generally you should never do, but I'm going to have a look for endoplasmic reticulum membrane. I've got to do a reverb. No, I've got to do this. Sorry, I'm going way too much in the weeds here. There we go.
That's right. You just want to show us what it looks like in the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just want to prove it actually made a change in the actual ontology in GitHub. So, So that's basically how it works. So with Go, we have... and just because, you know, there's only so much time in the day, there's only the EQ template for OBO at the moment. But for Go, we've actually got so many templates that we have a little browser to kind of like find the right template that you might want to use. So, you know, if you want a new Go biological process, we have one template for, you know, cell apoptosis. You're maybe familiar with some of these. Also, if you want a new plant development term in Go, you can say, okay, I'm going to select this, use template, and then you can actually do, say, leaf.
Our favorite.
So it's already hard-coded to make this a development term, so all you need to do is put in the PO term here. And oh, yeah, for Go, we force, I'm not going to really submit this. I'm just going to do a fake thing. Because Go, we kind of like check not. What else do I need to do?
It should probably be a like a subcellular component, like chloroplast, probably, right? Because is it linked to the PO?
Leaf, yeah, leaf comes from the PO.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So I'm on the Go. This is I've jumped to the Go term, Jeannie.
Right.
Here.
Right.
Yep. So I'm just demonstrating how you might want to make a new term in Go.
Like a developmental process.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So you should just be able to do this. Oh, I didn't tab for it.
But it doesn't give you a place to put the quality.
No. Okay. This is we've left the OBA term, Jeannie.
Right.
Sorry, I went too fast. We're now in the Go. This has nothing to do with qualities.
Okay.
This is the Go term, Jeannie. I'm just showing you.
But it would be like leaf. It wouldn't be just leaf. It would be leaf.
Development.
Development or, yeah.
Yeah.
Leaf extension or something.
Sorry. I probably went too fast. So we can come back to OBA in a moment. But this is.
Right. This is
just for making Go requests. Right. And I picked. You know, I knew that I wanted a Go developmental process term, right. So I picked the plant development template.
Okay.
Which is how you make a new development term in Go. And so
but this my is question was you don't have to put like leaf expansion or something or leaf.
No. So this will make a leaf development term. It's hard coded. To use just it's just leaf. The term I want is leaf development.
Oh, I see.
I want a term that describes the development of a leaf.
What if you wanted something more specific, like a child of leaf development, like leaf expansion?
Go doesn't really have a pattern for expansion. So you can choose formation, you can choose maturation, morphogenesis. If you think leaf expansion is a thing, then maybe that's a thing that's unique to leaves, and you would just use the freeform term, Jeannie.
Okay.
But most of the time, people don't need kind of like boutique terms like that. They would just need terms that conform to existing templates.
Yeah, I'll have to look and see what we have for leaf. What's the error? It doesn't like your PubMed ID.
I don't believe it.
It's pretty slow.
Okay, it should have.
I don't know one off the top of my head.
See if. Yeah, so that's. I wouldn't have been able to make it past the stage anyway because it's detected that that term exists in Go. Okay, so I'm gonna jump back to the OBA one and just show you another thing that you can do is that I don't recommend doing for trait ontologies, but if something doesn't fit into an existing template, you can just make up your own term. So you could say now this is absolutely not recommended. If you wanted a new term, leaf shape, you should absolutely use the template.
Right.
But just to show you it's possible, you can go in here and you can say this is a plant trait. I mean, there's maybe a more specific term it would go under.
Like,
and you can just do all your usual kind of like ontology metadata here.
Mm-hmm.
And And again, you have some, kind of like recourse against adding terms that are already in the ontology because it will check the label. But when you go via freeform, it's not going to put an OWL equivalence axiom. So that limits its ability to check if the true a term with the same biological meaning already exists in the ontology. So in general, for traits, almost all traits, you know, should fit into some kind of like standard template, whether it's an EQ template or a more advanced template to do with like the ratio of chlorophyll to some other chemical in some part of the plant. We can make a template for those if need be. So generally, you might need a free form if you were doing things, if you wanted a term gene for the PO itself, because not all PO terms fit into some template. Something like leaf is, you know, it's, you can't really easily define that, I think, just using existing concepts.
Yeah. So I think what we had talked about in the past was creating one for the TO.
We can do that, yeah. So
I don't think we really need one for the PO, but
No, TO it would be the main.
TO is where we kind of need this. And then maybe down the road.
Possibly the plant disease one as well, because it
Yeah, maybe down the road. Yeah. But for now, it'd be really good to see if we could develop an instance of this for the TO.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, I think we should do it as Lal is saying for TO. Plant diseases is definitely yes. And environment, EO, I think, I don't know what are we calling, EO or GEO, whatever it is. At least the three of them.
Yeah, and probably the first one to do is probably TO to get started with.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm.
On the other hand.
And while we're still kind of figuring out the whole scheme of how the other ones fit together.
So, Lal, do you also want for PO?
Well, I don't think we really need it for PO.
I mean, some of the terms, let's say, if you're looking at, leaf lamina epidermis. So leaf epidermis is defined, leaf lamina is defined, so it will be much easier, I believe, to do it this way, rather than going through the over. It should be pretty straightforward. Right, Chris?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And way back in the day, Pankaj, remember, there was some people, I think maybe from Green, that got very worked up about the fact that there was all these compositional terms they wanted to add.
Yeah.
A handful of them in the ontology. But then suddenly it turned out that they didn't really need to add those at all. And it was like, the node of the gynosium of the, and if we ever go back to needing a whole bunch of, compositional terms, then you definitely want to be doing that using some kind of templating approach.
So why don't we begin with, let's say, trait ontology, which is the primary focus with the CG folks and Marie's work. Then I would say bring in the plant anatomy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Those two to begin with. And I don't know, where do we want to run it from? From your server or from the server over here, Justin?
Either way.
So, and can if we are running from here, can we give Heiko or Chris and Seth the access to our service? I don't know, Chris, whichever is convenient.
Yeah, I'll talk to Heiko and Seth and see what they think. I think it's pretty easy to set up, so we wouldn't even necessarily need access to the servers themselves. Mm-hmm. You have a couple of options as to how you do your user management. Mm-hmm. The way we've always done it has been there's a kind of secret JSON file that lives on a server that someone who knows how to secure shell in can go in and edit. But what we've started doing with the Go, and you may be able to do something like this too, and there's good reasons to do this too if you start using Noctua as well, because it uses the same mechanism. But on the Go site, we have a YAML format file that basically is metadata on all users in the Go. And it may even have other people who aren't strictly in the Go too. So there you are. Well,
Yes.
So this is basically anyone who is of relevance to the Go in some way. Oh, and you're here because you're actually allowed to write. You can make requests on Go Term Genie. So if you ever do need, you know, plant development charms, you have permissions. Hmm. So it's basically what this... So what you could do is you can make your own user's YAML file in some kind of Plantium site metadata repository. And that just makes it a bit easier than having a kind of secret file that lives on the server that, you know, Justin has to, you know how to secure shell it into and edit a JSON file in the right way. You might want to just copy our setup here.
Yeah, that's a good
way. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And for all the different instances of Term Genie, it's the same YAML file that we'll be accessing for login.
For all Plantium ones, yeah. Basically, you would get a new field here. So yeah. It would be, you would say, like, you can give someone, say, access to some instances and not others. So it's fine-grained. So you could say Term Genie TO, Term Genie PO, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And different access for each.
Would we have a separate Term Genie instance for each ontology? Or can we kind of do a single one for Plantium?
You'd want us, well, yeah, I think it's easiest if it...
Because otherwise we couldn't give curators separate permissions if it's all in one, right?
Yeah, let me talk to Heiko about it, because I can see how for you it would be easier to have the same instance.
It would be nice to have one instance, yeah.
To pick and choose your superclass subtype or namespace, basically, whichever it is, either anatomy or growth stage or
brain. I think you're probably going to end up having different instances.
Mm-hmm.
But there's advantages to that as well. But I think just because of the way it works, it's typically kind of like one instance is one kind of file to update.
I believe a person would always create at least only one particular type of instance in any given session, probably. Only problem would be if there is a cross-product entity is not available in another ontology, then it's a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, but unfortunately, it's not clever enough to be able to kind of like link between the Term Genie instances. So if you ever need to do that, you need to go to the base ontology, request your term, wait for the gatekeeper to assign it, and then go into the other Term Genie. Yeah.
I think it's a good idea to start with, let's say, two cases and exactly the same, but how we have it, and mm-hmm. then move on.
Yeah.
And add new functionalities. I can envision that there could be a login page that sends you to select which ontology you're working with, and that leads to your single instance. Otherwise, you go to your home where you have all the other links.
I think the way it's going to work is you will just have a page that, you know, like a wiki page or something even, or something on the GitHub that says, you know, this. If you want this kind of term, go to this Term Genie.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we can do that. So yeah. let's start with trade ontology, begin with, so that we can, we have a couple of curators coming in and our own editions of the trade ontologies that would actually streamline and helpful in that, and then bring in the next instance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That sounds good.
So how soon can we expect it?
We'll definitely have it up before the meeting. But just a couple of caveats. So the logical reasoning only works as well as it will not give complete results if the logical definitions are not complete. So mm-hmm. it should never give you anything wrong unless the actual underlying ontologies are wrong. But how well it works is in proportion to the kind of quality of the logical definitions.
Right.
So for some really messy ontologies, like we've tried using it for the human phenotype ontology, but just because of the way that ontology was made, it mm-hmm. doesn't really work so well. Now, the trait ontology mostly follows, you know, good, it follows a reasonably kind of consistent rational pattern. So it will mostly work quite well. But as I pointed out after our call last week, we do have these things where it just doesn't really quite follow Peyto. Now, did I make a ticket for that?
I don't think so.
Comment that you posted. Yeah, I think it was. I don't know if it was a ticket. I think I got an email about it.
I know that we were talking about content and concentration last time.
Yeah. So, having the TO follow the Pareto hierarchy doesn't really make a lot of sense to me from a biology perspective. So I don't know how, you know, that's something we haven't even really discussed. That's something maybe we need to discuss a little bit more.
Well, in that case, term genie won't work and reasoning won't work and L won't work for TO. So,
I mean, so what you're suggesting is organizing all of the color traits in one hierarchy, all of the shape traits in one hierarchy.
Well, that is the only part that you can automate essentially. I mean, obviously shape can be under morphology, and if you had values, then they would be under specific shapes.
I think what we are trying to do is creating the ontology structure based on Pareto, whereas right now it's in terms of categorized by the biological knowledge.
Right.
Right? Based on the anatomy. Planetology's anatomy section.
The morphological branches is kind of following the PO. It's organized.
Sure, of course, it follows both. So if you use reasoning and you have something like kind of phylum length, phylum's a kind of leaf, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so phylum, a reasoner will infer phylum length is a subclass of leaf morphology. So it uses both. So, you know, well, I'm not saying that your hierarchy has to look exactly like the Pareto hierarchy. I'm just saying, first of all, it should be consistent with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so where it's not consistent with it is cases in this report where you have things like fruit color. Well, again, okay, so this comes down to fruit. What does this mean? I guess if this just means any fruit trait, then I would just call it fruit trait. But the way we have the logical definition at the moment is, at least I think when I made this, I interpret this to mean, okay, it's really a morphology trait. But color isn't a morphology trait.
I don't even know why this trait is there. It is definitely not an anatomy and morphology trait.
Fruit color.
Fruit color is not an anatomy and morphology trait. It is a fruit quality trait.
Yeah, good. Okay, so...
So,
term genie works best if we clear out as many of these kind of things as possible up front.
Mm-hmm.
Because it can get kind of confused if you say certain things in the ontology and it doesn't...
And for example, whatever morphology means the shape and form. So, for example, color is not shape and form.
Yeah.
Well, so I've been looking into that, and
it is a ripening trait, fruit ripening trait, which could be
of morphology includes color. It's a branch of biology dealing with the study of the form and structure of organisms and their specific features. This includes aspects of the outward appearance, shape, structure, color, pattern, size, external morphology, as well as the form and structure of the internal parts like bones and organs.
So I think we should limit it to that because
we can debate this, but this is the model that we were following.
Right, but technically speaking, when a tomato person is looking,
right, but from the very beginning, you've been telling me to put everything under anatomy and morphology, and then secondarily into quality.
That's
the thing that we've been following for a long time.
We are not arguing here. We are looking at how a biologist would look at. So we can argue about that.
That's how a biologist would look at it.
Yeah. So we can go back to take a look at that.
Yeah. So yeah, I've had these kind of discussions, you know, not in plants but for other things over the years, and
share my screen.
There's multiple ways of slicing and dicing it, but
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, if you want to use a reasoner to kind of automate the placement of terms, then you have to believe what comes in from the kind of like the more primitive ontologies that you're using to define the terms.
Right.
If one of those is Pareto, you either just say, okay, a policy decision, we're going to believe everything Pareto says. And you can still go to the Pareto tracker and you can say, we think color is a kind of morphology and make a case for it. And maybe everyone will agree and maybe everyone will not. But at the end of the day, if Pareto doesn't work for you, then reasoning won't work for you, and you're going to have to come up with your own quality ontology.
So
that's the kind of compromise.
I'm just looking at Pato right now. So color is defined as a physical object quality.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, that's basically kind of like the root.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Physical quality. Let me just see how that's defined. The definitions are so
bizarre. So I believe what I'm hearing is that we need to do some kind of a triage and some fixing on the trade ontology side as the terms would move on. But we also want to have a trade term genie going
right.
for TO. The compromise here is that it's possible that a particular term that gets created and its automated definition and placement might be a little different.
Exactly, yeah, that's the compromise. I mean, generally, its placement won't be wrong, but it may not be as deep and as as consistent with the kind of implicit, you know, beliefs that you have about where it should be placed.
Right, but on the plus side, the curator who's putting the term request, he gets the ID, he gets the term name right away.
Yeah.
And it's the admin who is responsible for doing the other tasks on making it consistent and more logical that can be worked on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So if a person coming from Potato Research Institute, he has 10 trades to work with, he gets the request immediately.
Exactly, yes.
And they don't have to wait until we approve and all sorts of things. They get it right away. As long as we are not disturbing the ID, they are fine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. In that sense. And then we can figure out how to make the best placement of that term.
But first, you need to have the templates.
Right, and we need to have the templates.
Like just the entity quality templates. And I don't think that's enough. We need more templates.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you won't be able, for example, to add, I don't know, on
tesis time. You'll always be able to add the very simple ones.
Yeah, only the simple ones.
Yeah, so this is something maybe we can work with you guys more on and keep talking about the TO. We're really just starting to, you know, to talk about the TO, and this is good. I don't mean to say that I'm, you know, again,
right.
changing how we're doing, but I need to understand the logic behind it and, you know.
Right, And obviously, as Marie Angelique, you just mentioned that there are some complex terms and for which the template may not work. There was an option, as Chris showed, that you can create your own term and send in the request, and then somebody would be able to revise it, for example.
Exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but the majority of the terms are not just simple terms.
Right.
I mean, at least in CO, I mean, I was able to have a formal definition for one quarter of the threads that I have. So that means that 75% of the threads are not simple. So we need to find a way to have a formal definition for those threads as well. I mean,
right. So I would, from next week onwards, I may be able to have more time to spend with you, Marie-Angelique, to go over your why we are not finding certain terms and what should be working on. You and I can work on it together to go over, go into the details of, and try to find out where the problem is.
Well, we should probably do that together as a...
I want to review it first before I go right. over to the group to go over... This,
I should take part in this too, so that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I know that I created the TO in the very first instance, so I know the preamble why I created certain things in certain ways.
Yes.
So I may not have written down everything, but I can certainly give you guys insights why certain things are working and why not working. I can obviously find some complicated terms, for example, saying root length to shoot length ratio.
Right.
Those are kind of complicated terms.
Or even branching type.
Huh?
Or right. branching type, you know, antithesis color. Or everything that is related to the environment, like drought resistance or cold mm-hmm. resistance. I mean,
yeah.
For this, you cannot find the quality yeah. directly in Peto. You need a third component.
So what we are finding is that the entity part can come from multiple domain areas, multiple ontologies, and then bringing in. So it's not just straightforward only anatomy.
Yeah, so we could use Envo. So Envo actually has some processes, some things in it now, like drought as well.
So it could be like an environmental trait, environment influence trait, or environment trait, basically, or anatomical trait or a quality trait kind of things.
Yeah, I try to link them to EO.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And Chebby. So,
yeah. And I know that we have in the past done the trait ontology cross. XP file, right, Chris?
Yes.
Where we have gone through the trait ontology being mapped back to anatomy, to Go, to Kebby, and to environment ontologies, at least the four of them. And I don't think we ever did it with the diseases or taxonomy names.
Yeah.
For the causal organisms. But I think at least four of those templates are working for number. I think we covered about 70-80% of the terms. I don't know where we stand in that term.
I can. Yeah, it was never as high as 70 or 80, yeah. But it was higher than 25. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're right. So with EQ, you'll only get like 25%. If you start using some of these other patterns, mm-hmm. then I'm trying to find. I thought we had to create ones better documented, but you know, here's one example. Like chlorine sensitivity is. This is how we did
right.
it before. But we have more TO1s here.
So, Chris, I was thinking is that I don't know how often we have run that XP instance, but can we redo one more round and see where we are at this point of time?
We can try and do that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
and what we have on the SVN is pretty old.
So, and
I actually picked that, and I you got some beeping in the background. I actually took that and used that in OBA. So that's currently the latest one, but I can kind of pull that back out of OBA and put it into the plant trait ontology repository.
That would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is out of date now because we changed the actual kind of like owl axiom pattern. But the basic idea is the same. So I went through like a while ago. Yeah. Sorry, I should have really sent this to you ages ago, Mary Angelique.
If you could share that link with us, would be good.
Yeah.
Is that something we have access to?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And we should. I let's just move this. Actually, I'm going to move this to a markdown file in your repository, in the plant trait repository.
Okay. Good. Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was asking about last week. When we were talking about this, if there was a more current one. So this is good.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what my plan is. I want to see the current, if I can have the version from Chris, XB product, and the original version of the trait ontology. I will go over and review some of those, get back to Marie Angelique to see where the problem is and why we are having this thing, dig into it, and then come back to the group to discuss where the problems are and where we might have to spend some more time. But I think the most of the time it would work with the anatomy. Anatomy, environment, taxonomy, and what is that, Kebby? Mm-hmm. It should work most of the time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Chris, if you can take a look at what is required for setting up the term genie for TO instance, where and where is it convenient to run it from your end or on our end? Because we will have to make sure that any software updates or something that happens.
Actually, so I thought it's going to be slightly harder than I thought because it's going to, term genie requires the equivalence axioms to be in the same file.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So that means that you're going to need to switch to an import strategy. Now you can't, if you're all using the latest version of OboEdit, you can continue to use OboEdit and imports, but it will require me to set up some things in your repository, some import files, and it requires everyone to configure their OboEdit save in a very specific way that I will specify.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's not, this might be, it might be better if we wait until after the November meeting to do this.
In
Or creating the TermGenie instance?
Yes, because TermGenie requires the equivalence axioms to be in the same file as the ontology.
Okay.
Okay. We can do that.
Right, but for the moment, do they have to bring the instance into OboEdit?
Well, I presume you're going to carry, you're going to need to carry on using OboEdit to make tweaks to Teo.
We can, yeah. And we have students that are trained in it, so that's helpful if we have things that we need done.
Right. Well, if we're going to switch to using import, then all the students that are using it will need to be trained at least in how to set up OboEdit so that it does the imports correctly.
Right.
So I'm getting two things over here. I thought that we were training everybody to move over to Prodigy.
You can use Prodigy and keep editing OBO files. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if you necessarily want to make the switch immediately in November.
Mm-hmm.
You may want to do it different strategies for different ontologies. You can certainly make the switch. In some ways, it's easier if you say after the November meeting, everyone stops using OboEdit.
Mm-hmm.
That's one strategy, but you may suddenly decide you don't want to do that. You know, I mean, unfortunately, you know, Protégé has many flaws too. So some editors in Go much prefer to use Protégé, some much prefer to use OboEdit. So we have a policy of you can use what you want.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the kind of policy decision we're going to have to come up with as a group, I think.
Yeah, no, that is fine. But what I'm thinking is that in terms of the training and everything, if people are working on multiple ontologies on multiple platforms, it gets very confusing for a curator. They will want to be doing certain things in certain ways and get hook off it.
Unfortunately, there's no way around that. It's going to be ontology editing is confusing. The tools are not. They're not great, you know, and that's unfortunately why, you know, we need to have a training session as well.
So do you think that OboEdit would handle everything what we need, or we need to switch over to Prodigy?
So
given a preference, what would you do?
My preference would be everyone uses Prodigy, but we continue to keep at least some of the source files in OBO because that makes certain things easier.
Okay.
Would it be easier in terms of setting up the TermGenie if we were using Protégé for?
Yes. So for TermGenie to work, you need the equivalence axioms in the same file. So Protégé handles imports correctly from the get-go. OboEdit only handles imports with a kind of like a peculiar hack we had to add to accommodate the Go editors who wanted to keep using OboEdit. And it's a very fragile hack that requires you to set up OboEdit in a very particular way.
Switching over to using Protégé would be better from the beginning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I would suggest that we do the training on Protégé.
Yeah, I think
okay.
On everybody. And if don't give the option of an OboEdit, right? If you give that option, then people would run to the simpler tool. I know Prodigy is not that easy to handle kind of things. If you give that option over it, everybody would jump on it because many of them have been using over it, so they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think we should do the training, and that's what was the committed thing to go
okay.
for.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris, like you say, we can still, even if we're working in OWL, we can still save an OBO version, right?
If you're using the latest Protégé, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you say latest, you mean like 4.3 or 5?
No, it's 5.0, and you need to be actually, at the moment, you need to be using the beta 18 snapshot, but there will be an actual, it will still be called beta, but unfortunately, that is the only version that can be used.
But what I was thinking is that it should not be the users saving it in the OBUIL format. It should for their individual instance, it should be done computationally. If we can store everything else that is coming in the form of OWL or something.
No, well, what I would recommend is you use Protégé, which gives you imports and reasoning, but you can still keep the source files in OBUIL because OBUIL is still a valid OWL format.
Okay.
And it has certain advantages for doing diffs and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, no, I'm fine. But moving forward, I think I want everybody to be using Protégé.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. So at the workshop, we should focus on Protégé.
Yes, otherwise it gets very confusing for everybody.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. We don't want people using different things at the workshop. That would be really confusing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think we should probably wrap up here today. Yeah. Any other things you need to talk
about? I have to go now, actually. So.
Yeah, I figured you probably did. We're kind of at past the end of the hour. So thanks very much for the demo and all this good discussion on this. It's great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's very helpful. The more we talk about things, the better we're kind of getting things sorted out. So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And can I get a quick update on what's happening? What's the plan for the plant ontology, and where do we stand in terms of?
Still have some association files that have some errors that are causing them to not load. So I'm working through those right now.
Okay. So we expect, let's say, by the weekend, we should be able to release it.
That's my goal. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good.
I'm hoping to have all the association files fixed today, yeah. And then it takes about 30 hours to do the load.
Yeah. Okay. On the side front, Chris, how easy it is to create a skin for Plantium on the Amiga 2.0?
I believe it should be quite easy. It's certainly easy to do with just keeping your own fork, but I think there's probably a better way to do that, and that's. And that's something I suggest we discuss with Seth there Seth and Justin kind of work that out in November.
Yeah. So November is fine. I think it's because it's early November kind of things, right?
Yeah.
We can get the data ready for Plantium 1.0. I think only the look and feel might have to change a little bit, and then I think they can work on that.
Okay.
That part. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right. That's fine.
All right. Great.
Thanks.
Speak later. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.